think he was in the army, governor of the state, and that, you know, who likes to hunt. So I can't imagine that that contrast won't be clear to people.
And that contrast is going to be made in campaign ads, and in whether or not we're going to see a vice presidential debate. That contrast, I think, is going to be very interesting to see. And these stump speeches.
I think even more important than that, I mean, people in the states of Wisconsin and Michigan are going to see these people face to face, like people in Eau Claire are today.
Well, and, seemingly not all of
so the they're going to be making that comparison that way.
And not all the individuals trying to get into the Vance event taking place in Eau Claire this afternoon are able to get in face-to-face contact with him, as they may have been believed it was available, according to that reporting by Civic Media's Melissa Kay up in Eau Claire this afternoon. And so, yes, here in Wisconsin, in swing states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, these candidates are going to be attending these events, holding these events, going to the small town diners, the possible football games of high schools across the state. Like, that is a real possibility. I can see a former high school coach really gleaning at the opportunity to go and talk to some voters at a Friday yeah. Night Live event, Friday Night Lights event. And so it'll definitely be interesting to see on the stump. Some of the other sound that we have from the event yesterday. Again, you are listening to Civic Media special event coverage. Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this afternoon. This from the event that they took place in Philadelphia yesterday with the announcement of Walz as the running mate. We've got some more sound from Vice President talking about Terry, with the situation that you alluded to, Walz stepping up for some of his students back in the 90s. Mr. Zommers, if we can play this clip for the people.
Tim wasn't only a role model on the football field. Around that same time, Coach Walz was approached by a student in his social studies class. The young man was one of the first openly gay students at the school and was hoping to start a gay-straight alliance. At a time when acceptance was difficult to find for LGBTQ students, Tim knew the signal that it would send to have a football coach get involved.
So that, Terry, alluding to the remarks that you saw stand out to you at the campaign event taking place in Philadelphia yesterday afternoon. I think it's also not only the history in the background that Walz has as a educator in Minnesota, represented a pretty middle of the ground congressional district when it came to his time before governor, spending it in Congress, not necessarily hailing from an area around the Twin Cities, but a little bit more rural, a little bit more moderate congressional district. Your thoughts on
Yeah, that's a district that has elected a wide variety of different viewpoints for the U.S. representatives. So that's, that's an excellent and an interesting point. I'm also getting word that, according to our reporting, the reporting that we're seeing, that they are waiting for the J.D. Vance event to wrap up before this one starts. Not sure the thinking behind that, but that is what is going on at the Harris rally. As far as I know, I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong, but that's the word I'm getting.
All right. An interesting interesting tactic, if that's the case. Trigvi, your thoughts on kind of starting if you're having dueling rallies, so waiting for the others to conclude before you start your own.
Yeah, you know, in normal times, I would say that that's just the two campaigns giving deference to one another. I'm not sure that that's the case now. I mean, I've worked on plenty of campaigns, certainly during primaries, where, you know, the campaigns are in contact and they agree after a primary who's going to speak when and not stepping on each other. In this particular case, I don't know that they're on that good of terms, but it probably makes sense to wait till he's done doing whatever he's doing.
All right. And we've got... We are keeping an eye, folks. You are listening to special event coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Luke Mathers, joined in studio by news director Terry Bell, and via the stream, Trygve Olsen. We are covering the events of Vice President Kamala Harris coming to Western Wisconsin for remarks with her newly decided running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. We are going to take a brief break and we will return with more.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You're listening to Civic Media News special coverage of Vice President Harris and her running mate Tim Walz campaigning in Eau Claire. All eyes are on Western Wisconsin today. Also, the Republican running mate J.D. Vance speaking in Eau Claire earlier. Word is that he just wrapped up. So we anticipate the vice president and her running mate will be speaking soon. And also today, a very important day in Wisconsin. The latest Marquette poll has just been released, showing a virtual tie between the two candidates running for president. And not surprising, but still very important. So a lot is going on here in Wisconsin, and we're keeping you on top of all the latest developments. And judging by the appearances of things happening at the former Country Fest grounds in Eau Claire, sounds like that things will maybe be getting started soon. So I mentioned that Marquette Law School poll. Among registered voters, 50% support Donald Trump, 49% support Harris. Among likely voters, the same numbers, 50 for Trump, 49 for Harris. Poll was released just an hour or two ago. When polling for former President Joe Biden and Donald Trump, it was 42-47. So it's been a significant change since President Biden dropped out of the race. The poll surveyed 877 registered voters between July 24th and August 1st. Margin of error, plus or minus 4.6 percentage points, as there were 801 likely voters with a margin of error, plus or minus 4.8 points. Starting next month, the poll is going to start to emphasize likely voters as the November election draws closer, and we'll be very interested to see what happens there. We are awaiting the beginning of the Harris-Walz rally in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, a spot just north of Eau Claire, where there used to be the grounds for Country Fest USA, a large outdoor festival grounds. And this is one of the rare outdoor events for Democrats this year. Most of them have been indoors. In fact, Joe Biden's one of his last campaign appearances was at a middle school gymnasium in Madison. So you can see just exactly how the dynamic of the race has changed just by the optics alone.
Yeah, glad to be with you, Terry, this afternoon.
Luke Mathers is here.
Yeah, and we are joined as well by Trygve Olsen, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Some of the numbers that will be interesting to take a look at in the polling, but we've got
Les Danielson.
Now we'll go live into the event.
Born and raised in Kedah. I've been farming right here in the Chippewa Valley my entire life. In 1884, my great-grandfather, Dan Danielson, moved to the Chippewa Valley and homesteaded our original farm. My grandfather, William, continued on with the family farm, followed by my father, Wayne. Today, my two brothers and I all farm in the same area in Cadott, just over 20 minutes from here. My extended family still farm the same land my great-grandparents did, and we look forward to farming it for years to come. My wife Deborah and I purchased 700 acres of our own land and now grow 500 acres of corn, soybeans, and some hay. We built our grain setup and milk a small herd of cows. My story is a Wisconsin story, one of hard work and perseverance. And that's why I'm glad and excited that Vice President Harris's running mate is a lifelong Midwesterner. Just like me, who will always fight for working families and understands rural America. As a kid from Cadott, I'm very proud to stand on this stage today as we welcome the next president and vice president of the United States to the Chippewa Valley. From Cadott, I'm Vice very President proud to stand on this
Kamala
stage
Harris
today
and Governor Tim Walz know that rural America is the backbone of our nation.
It's family farms like mine that feed our country, and it's small businesses in towns like Cadott that keep our economy strong. But while Donald Trump was in office,
we are listening to comments made by Les Danielson, a farmer from Cadott, Wisconsin, who is seemingly going to be one of the last speakers at the event in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this afternoon, introducing Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Big oil and giant corporations. Not family farms, and he made it harder for us to compete. Together with President Biden, Kamala Harris has fought for rural communities, whether through fixing our roads and bridges so we can get products to markets, or fighting to expand affordable health care, or helping family farms like mine. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance just don't care about rural America, no matter how much they pretend to. That's why this November, I'm voting for Kamala Harris and Governor Walz. And now it's my honor to introduce our future Vice President, Governor Tim Walz.
Folks, you are listening to special event coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Luke Mathers. We are covering the events of Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, speaking in Western Wisconsin this afternoon. Governor Tim Walz walking across the stage now, heading to the campaign event and going to be delivering his remarks shortly. He was just introduced by Wisconsin farmer Les Daniels, and we will hear remarks from Governor Walz, the newly selected running mate, shortly.
Wow. Wow. Hello, Eau Claire. Isn't it good to have a candidate who can pronounce the name correctly? So, wow. Les, thank you. Thank you for the introduction. More importantly, thank you for articulating what we know it means to live out here in the Midwest. Care for your neighbors. Kindness. I want to acknowledge a few people today. Somebody who I have to tell you might be the kindest human being I have ever met, your governor, Tony Evers. A dear friend of mine who I had a chance to serve with in the House of Representatives, an incredible senator, Tammy Baldwin. The people's lawyer, your attorney general, Josh Call. And someone who knows education's the foundation of everything, State Superintendent Jill Underley. All the state and local officials are here, but I want to say that point of personal privilege on this. I got a bunch of my family down here in the front, so. A couple of them are Badgers too, by the way. So, and a real special thank you to everybody here. Looking out across here, look, you're busy people. You got things to do. It's a summer day. You had to walk 2 miles. I had nothing to do with that, by the way, nothing. So, but you came here for one beautiful, simple reason. You love this country and this democracy. I couldn't be prouder to be on this ticket to help make Kamala Harris the next president of the United States. You know it. Vice President Harris is on the side of the American people. She took on predators, fraudsters, transnational gang members. She stood up against powerful corporate interests, and she never hesitated, not once, to reach across the aisle if it improved people's lives. Being a Midwesterner too, I know a little something about commitment to people. I was born in a small town in Nebraska where community meant everything. My mom and dad taught me to show generosity to my neighbors and work for a common good. At 17, I joined the Army National Guard. For 24 years, I proudly wore the uniform of this nation. And that service, just as it did for my dad, a Korean War era veteran, and millions of others, I got the GI Bill and it gave me a shot at a college education. My dad was a teacher. My siblings were all teachers. And three of them married teachers. It's noble work. I had the privilege of teaching public school, social studies, and coaching football for 20 years. And for all you Packer and Badgers fan, yeah, we did win a state championship. So it's what we do. But it was my students who encouraged me to run for office. I never thought that much about it, but they saw in me what I was hoping to instill in them. This idea of a commitment to a better world, a common good, a belief that one single person can actually make a difference. I lived in a red district, but my neighbors were kind enough and graced me with the opportunity to go to the United States House of Representatives for 12 years to represent them. I learned how to compromise without compromising my values. And as governor of the great state of Minnesota, I brought all that experience. Okay. Are there Minnesotans in the house today? Bringing that experience to tackling the challenges that we're facing our state. We don't shy away from challenges, but I'll tell you what, Donald Trump, he sees the world differently than we see it. He has no understanding of service. Because he's too busy servicing himself. Again and again and again. Again and again and again. This guy weakens our country to strengthen his own hands. He mocks our laws. He sows chaos and division amongst the people. And that's to say nothing of the job he did as president. He froze in the face of COVID, and it cost people's lives. He drove the economy into the ground. And make no mistake about it, violent crime was up when Donald Trump was president. Those of you who are a little older know this. Older Republicans used to talk about freedom. These guys today, it turns out that freedom to them means government should be free to invade your exam room with your doctor. Now look, we're pretty neighborly with Wisconsin. We get our friendly battles, but in Minnesota, just like in Wisconsin, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. Even if we wouldn't make the same choices for ourselves, because we know there's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business. Mind your own damn business. I don't need you telling me about our health care. I don't need you telling us who we love. And I sure the hell don't need you telling us what books we're gonna read. And there's a very personal one for me, and that includes IVF. Some of you might have heard this. This is very personal for my wife and I. When Gwen and I decided to have children, we went through years of fertility treatments. And I remember each night praying that the call was going to come and it was going to be good news. The phone would ring, tenseness in my stomach, and then the agony when you heard the treatments hadn't worked. So it wasn't by chance that when we welcomed our first child, our beautiful daughter, we named her Hope. When Vice President Harris and I, and everyone here talks about freedom, we mean the freedom to make your own healthcare decisions. And for all of our little ones to be free to go to school without worrying about being shot dead in their classroom. And just like Wisconsin, over in Minnesota, we believe in the Second Amendment, but we also believe in common sense gun violence laws. And just so you know, when I was in Congress, I was the top gun at the trap shoot 3 years in a row. I can outshoot them too. I can outshoot these guys. Look, freedom is when... freedom... Oh! Can we get somebody to help? Somebody's hot. Somebody's hot. Can we get somebody to help? You okay? Drink some water, folks. It is hot out. Get somebody up.
Folks, you are listening to special event coverage. We've got Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the newly selected Democratic vice presidential running mate of Vice President Kamala Harris, addressing the crowd. It seems one of the attendees in the audience is without water. Now we're getting some chants from the crowd as the governor ensures that the attendee at the rally is getting some water and is attended to. You're listening to this special event broadcast across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in studio by News Director Terry Bell, covering the events taking
place. Thank you all for helping.
This afternoon. We Grateful. Now return you to the remarks.
Thank you. Thank y'all. Take care of one another on this. This is why we gather. Look, it's hot. It is hot. I'll come again. They've got folks here. We'll make sure we're okay. But I have to tell you all again, in all seriousness, to come and gather like this, to talk about our freedoms, the ability to talk about what could be good. And I have to say, this idea of caring for our neighbor and kindness and a hand up when somebody needs it, or just the sense of that people go through things, and to be able to be there when they need it, that's who we are. It's not about mocking. It's not name callings. And you see it amongst them. Yay. Thank you all. Thank you.
Sounds like the person in the crowd who may have suffered some sort of heat-related incident appears to be taken care of. There's applause from the crowd. Governor Walz taking some time from his speech to make sure that the person
Thank
in the crowd
all.
Was attended
we're
to.
We're okay. He's gonna,
I'm sure we'll hear more
down.
About that in the hours
him,
to come.
They're getting him some water, and it's good. He's going to get up. You guys need some water, too? We'll ask him. Teddy, can you see if they have some more water? That'd be great. Take care of your neighbors.
Yeah, a bit of one of those unscripted moments. We cover so many speeches that are very highly choreographed, and then you have a moment like this, and Governor Walz taking time from his speech to make sure the person in the crowd is getting the care they need, and it sounds like the person is getting the attention they need, and the governor will resume his remarks.
We'll get them taken care of. You know what this is about. This is about when they talk about the freedoms that we heard, and freedom in education means that our teachers aren't saddled with crippling debt when they go into this, the student loan debt. And I'll tell you what a big part of this is. We settle our political differences not through violence, but through our votes. The question is pretty simple. This election is all about asking that question. Which direction will this country go in? Donald Trump knows the direction he wants to take us. He wants to take it back. He wants to do the things that you saw, but be very clear. Don't believe him when he plays dumb. He knows exactly what he's talking about. He knows exactly what Project 2025 will do in restricting and taking our freedoms. He knows that it rigs the economy for the super rich. If he gets a chance to go back to the White House, it will be far worse than it was 4 years ago. Raising costs for the middle class, repealing the Affordable Care Act, gutting Social Security and Medicare, the very safety nets that protect people when they're down. And of course, banning abortions across this country, with or without Congress. This is where we talk to our neighbors. Donald Trump is not for you or your family. And Trump's running mate shares those same dangerous and backward beliefs. You know, just like all of us in regular America, we go to Yale, and then we have our careers funded by Silicon Valley billionaires. And then you write a book about the place you grew up and you trash that place. Come on, that's not who Wisconsin is. That's not who Minnesota is. We're better than that. We're better than that. One of the best parts of this job is going to be, I can't wait till the debate. So. Look, I've done this enough, and I know bullies, and I'm not a name caller, but what I am as a teacher, I observe things. So I want to tell you, what I observed and you've observed about these guys when you see them, that it's a very clear thing. Yes, they are creepy and weird as hell. You see it. You see it. This is not normal. This is not normal behavior. Nobody's asking for this crazy stuff. So I'll tell you what. You heard it from the vice president. You've heard her talk about this. We're sure the hell not going back. We're not going back. We are not going back. We are not going back. We damn sure aren't, but it's even more than that. This is a campaign about where we're going, and that's a future where everyone matters and everyone's included. Kamala Harris, she believes in the freedom to make your own choices. She believes in opportunity for every single person to join the middle class. And she believes in the promise of America. Thank you, Madam Vice President, for the trust that you've placed in me. Wisconsin, please help me in giving a warm Midwest welcome to the next President of the United States, Kamala Harris! Freedom, freedom.
And now we'll hear from the top of the ticket, Vice President Kamala Harris, after Governor Tim Walz's remarks, talking about his background as a teacher, taking a few pokes at his opponent on the Republican side, both Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Remarks that went over well with the crowd. And now Vice President Kamala Harris making her way towards the podium at the former Country Fest USA grounds just north of Eau Claire. The day after Tim Walz was named Kamala Harris's vice presidential running mate, and that the presidential campaign, if it wasn't already, is officially in full stride. And you're broadcast, you're here, you're listening to this broadcast live from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, across the Civic Media Radio Network and online at civicmedia.us and your local Civic Media station. We'll hear shortly from Vice President Kamala Harris.
Our friends at Sevier Studios also letting us know it is 78 degrees there in Wisconsin, so it is a warm one, and why Governor Walz had to address
the
crowd.
Good afternoon. Always good to be back. Good afternoon, everybody. Can we hear it for Tim Walz? Oh, I'm so happy to be running with him, let me tell you. So let me start by thanking Les, your words, your leadership, your voice. It's so important. Les, thank you for everything you are and everything you do for our country. And it is good to be with so many incredible leaders, including the most magnificent, wonderful Governor Tony Evers. Every time I come to Wisconsin, Tony meets me on the tarmac. He's such an incredible human being. I want to thank Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, Chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party Ben Wickler, and my dear, dear friend, Senator Tammy Baldwin. I served with Tammy when I was in the United States Senate, and I'm going to tell you, she was always, always, always fighting for the people of this state. And in November, we are going to re-elect her to the United States Senate. And please give it up one more time for Wisconsin's own Bon Iver. It's a good afternoon. It's a good afternoon. And let me say, I also want to just, I want to bring greetings from our incredible President Joe Biden. He loves Wisconsin. He loves Wisconsin. And I know we are all deeply grateful for his lifetime of service to our nation and for all he continues to do. That's right. That's right. I'm going to tell him what you said. So, Wisconsin, this has been a big week. On Monday, I officially became the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. And yesterday, I announced my running mate in this campaign, Governor Tim Walz. And as you just heard and the Minnesotans here know, Tim has an incredible record as governor of the great state of Minnesota. And to those who know him best, Tim is more than a governor. To his wife, Gwen, he is a husband. To his kids, Hope and Gus, he is dad. To his fellow veterans, he is Sergeant Major Walz. To the people of southern Minnesota, for 12 years, he was a congressman. Yeah. To his former high school students. He was Mr. Walls. And to his former high school football players, he was Coach. Coach. And in 90 days, the nation will know Coach Walls by a new title, Vice President of the United States of America. Oh, it really is good to be back in Wisconsin. So listen, let me tell you, I am clear. The path to the White House runs right through this state. And with your help, we will win in November. We are going to win. We are going to win. And I've been here many times, as you all know, recently and even before. And many of you know then, before I was elected Vice President, before I was elected United States Senator, I was an elected Attorney General, and before that, an elected District Attorney. And before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. So in those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Scammers who broke the rules for personal gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's tight. I know he's tight. In fact, I've been dealing with people like him my whole career. For example, as Attorney General of California, well, hold on, you know what? The courts are gonna handle that part of it. What we're gonna do is beat them in November. So I'll tell you, as Attorney General, I took on one of our country's largest for-profit colleges that scammed students. Well, Donald Trump ran a for-profit college that scammed students. As a prosecutor, I specialized in cases of sexual abuse. Well, Donald Trump was found liable for committing sexual abuse. As Attorney General, I held the big Wall Street banks accountable for fraud. Well, Donald Trump was just found guilty of fraud. 34 counts. So in this campaign, I'll tell you, I will proudly put my record against his any day of the week. Any day of the week. But let's make no mistake, this campaign is not just about us versus Donald Trump. It's about two very different visions for our nation. Two very different visions. One for us, focused on the future. The other, focused on the past. And Wisconsin, we fight for the future. We fight for a future where every worker has the freedom to join a union. Future where every senior can retire with dignity. A future where we build a broad-based economy, and one where every American has the opportunity to own a home, to start a business, to build wealth. And understand, in this fight, as Tim Walls likes to point out, we are joyful warriors. Yeah. joyful warriors. Because we know that while fighting for a brighter future may be hard work, hard work is good work. Hard work is good work. And so we will continue to fight for affordable housing, for affordable health care, affordable child care, and paid leave. We believe in a future where we lower the cost of living for America's families so that they have a chance not just to get by, but to get ahead. Because while our economy is doing well by many measures, prices for everyday things like groceries are still too high. You know it and I know it. You know, when I was Attorney General, I went after price-fixing schemes. And when I am president, it will be a day one priority to fight to bring down prices. I will take on big corporations that engage in illegal price gouging. I will take on corporate landlords that unfairly raise rents on working families. I will take on big pharma and cap the cost of prescription drugs for all Americans. And continue to bring manufacturing jobs back to America. And back to communities like Eau Claire. So all this is to say, strengthening our economy and building up the middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency. Because you see, Coach Walls and I know, when America's middle class is strong, America is strong. And as we work to move our nation forward, Donald Trump intends to take our nation backward. There is so much evidence of that point. There really is. But look at most recently, Project 2025 in that agenda. Project 2025, you know, if you have some time to take a look at it, I'm telling you, it is a plan to weaken the middle class. It is a plan to weaken the middle class. If he is elected, Donald Trump intends to give tax breaks to billionaires and big corporations. He intends to cut Social Security and Medicare. He intends to surrender our fight against the climate crisis, and he intends to end the Affordable Care Act. And because we all remember what it was like before the Affordable Care Act, we understand what that means. That's about taking us back to a time when insurance companies had the power to deny people with pre-existing conditions. You remember that? What that was like when we're not going back. We are not going back. We are not going back. But in order to know where we need to go, let's remember the past and what that was like. Because we cannot forget. On that point about the ACA, remember? People with pre-existing conditions being denied, children with asthma, breast cancer survivors, grandparents with diabetes. That was no joke. And we cannot go back. Ours has to be a fight for the future and a fight for freedom. A fight for freedom. Across our nation, we have been witnessing a full-on assault against hard-fought, hard-won freedoms and rights. The freedom to vote, the freedom to be safe from gun violence, the freedom to breathe clean air and drink clean water, the freedom to love who you love openly and with pride, and the freedom of a woman to make decisions about her own body and not have her government telling her what to do. Let's remember. Sure, let's remember the traditions of our great country. Generations of Americans before us led in the fight for freedom. And now then, as they would expect, the baton is in our hands. The baton is in our hands, each and every one of us. So we then, who believe in the sacred freedom to vote, will finally pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the Freedom to Vote Act. We, who believe in the freedom to live safe from gun violence, will finally pass universal background checks, red flag laws, and an assault weapons ban. We, who believe in reproductive freedom, will fight for a woman's right to choose. And we remember that when he was president, Donald Trump handpicked three members of the United States Supreme Court, the court of Thurgood and RBG, because he intended for them to overturn Roe v. Wade. And as he intended, they did. And now more than 20 states in our country have a Trump abortion ban, many with no exceptions even for rape and incest. And if he wins, we all know he will sign a national abortion ban to outlaw abortion in every state, even in Wisconsin. But we are not going to let that happen, because we trust women. And when I am president of the United States, and when Congress passes a bill to restore the protections of Roe v. Wade, I will sign it into law. Took time out of your busy lives and days and all your obligations to come out here and to be together as one community. And I know you did it also because we all know, listen, so much is on the line in this election. It can't be said seriously enough. So much is on the line. And compounded with everything else that we knew was on the line, think about the fact that last month, the United States Supreme Court basically told the former president, who has been convicted of fraud, that going forward he will be immune no matter what he does in the White House. Think about what that means and the changed circumstances since 16620 when you think about what that court decision means. Donald Trump has openly vowed if reelected he will be a dictator on day one. That he would weaponize the Department of Justice against his political enemies. That he would round up peaceful protesters and throw them out of our country. And even, quote, terminate the United States Constitution. So let us be clear, let us be clear. Someone who suggests we should terminate the Constitution of the United States should never again have a chance to stand behind the seal of the President of the United States. So basically, I think it all comes down to this. We're all here because we love our country. We love our country. We love our country. And I do believe it is the highest form of patriotism to fight for the ideals of our country. And that's how we preserve the promise of America. Because after all, the promise of America is what makes it possible, by the way, for Governor Waltz and me to stand on this stage today. Just think about it. Two middle-class kids, One, a daughter of Oakland, California, who was raised by a working mother and had a summer job at McDonald's. The other, a son of the Nebraska Plains who grew up working on a farm. Think about that. Only in America is it possible for them together to make it all the way together to the White House. Only in America. Only in America. So this is a fight to make real the promise of America for every person in our nation. And also, I'll tell you and I promise you, our campaign's going to reach out to everyone, from red states, from blue states, from the heartland to the coast. We are running a campaign on behalf of all Americans. And when elected, we will govern on behalf of all Americans. Because Coach Walls and I know, and we're clear about this, unlike the other side, we work for you. We work for you, the American people, and we will always fight for you, for your family, for your freedoms, and for your future. So Wisconsin, ultimately, this election is about a question that we each face. We each face a question in this election, and that is, what kind of country do we want to live in? Do we want to live in a country of freedom, of compassion, of rule of law, or a country of chaos, fear, and hate? And the beauty of our democracy is we each have the power individually and collectively. We each have the power in a democracy to answer that question. The power is with the people. The power is with the people. So in the next 90 days, we need you to use your power. We need you to knock on doors. We need you to register folks to vote. We need you to energize and organize and mobilize and make your voices heard. And I'll tell you, about an hour ago after I landed on Air Force Two, I met a collection of young leaders from Girl Scout Troop 3307. Oh, they were spectacular. Oh, they were spectacular. None of them high, taller than 3 feet. They were spectacular. And one of those young leaders had a shirt on that said, "You are powerful and your voice matters." Right? From the mouths of babes, they're telling us. And so let's remember that. Let's remember our power. Let's remember our voice matters. And with that, then I ask, are you ready to make your voices heard? Do we believe in freedom? Do we believe in opportunity? Do we believe in the promise of America? And are we ready to fight for it? And when we fight, we win! God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Vice President Kamala Harris speaking to a rather large crowd in just north of Eau Claire at the site of a former country music festival grounds. And, well, the second day of the kickoff of the Harris-Walls ticket and the campaign now in full swing, the two of them waving to a very large crowd of supporters The biggest that by far that I can recall this year for a Democratic presidential stop, and a very enthusiastic crowd. Kamala Harris, who took over the reins of the ticket when President Biden stepped aside a couple of weeks ago. And Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, longtime congressman before that, and in his own backyard, literally, in western Wisconsin, just a hop from Minnesota, and a large and enthusiastic crowd. And setting a tone, Luke Mathers, I think we can expect to hear for much of the rest of the campaign.
Yeah, Terry, and I may be wrong, but this may be one of the largest events of the cycle so far for either side.
That could very well be.
So we have not yet got an official head count, but some of the overhead video looks that there may be in the thousands of how many attendees. Mr. Zommers, we do have an official head count?
Yes, according to James Kelly, our reporter on the scene, he says the crowd estimate from the campaign staff is 12,000.
12,000. I was guessing around 10, I think, when we were looking at that video.
Okay.
So I want to say,
who owes who a beer then?
No wagers. That was just my rough guess at the picture that I saw. So I really hope that you didn't send James out there with that clicker for all 12,000. But the sizable crowd for the event, as you said, the day after Walz was announced yesterday in Pennsylvania that he would be the running mate for Vice President Kamala Harris. And Terry, we also had news that when the Vice President plane touchdown in Eau Claire, J.D. Vance, the vice presidential nominee for the Republican ticket, touched down at the same time at the tarmac.
Wow.
So we saw some of the reporting earlier today. J.D. Vance came up to the press pool outside of Air Force Two and seemingly made reference to hoping that it would be soon his plane this time next year, or making those kind of remarks, but addressing the pool of reporters outside of Air Force Two, saying that they may have been lonely because the vice president, as he alleges, hasn't been taking questions very often in her time now as the presumptive Democratic nominee.
Some gamesmanship. I think we maybe can expect some more of that out on the campaign trail as the campaign goes on. And we're going to be hearing much more of the comments between what was said today at the Harris rally. We'll have more coverage of what J.D. Vance had to say to reporters early in Eau Claire, which was an event that apparently a lot of people got turned away from, or were it was a smaller, more closed event than some people anticipated. We'll be hearing more about that.
Including our own civic media, Melissa Kay.
Well, yes, there were the opportunity. I don't know how... we as reporters care a great deal about things that maybe general listeners don't. But yes, we were declined our request for credentials to be inside the event.
Well, I think important to note that we tried to cover both of the events in person.
Yes, we did.
And so this rally, a little bit of a different tone compared to the event that U.S. Senator J.D. Vance and Republican vice presidential nominee Vance held in Eau Claire this afternoon. So it's very telling. I think we're hearing portions of a stump speech for both of these candidates, both Governor Tim Walz and Vice President Kamala Harris, her being on the trail for the past 2.5 weeks now, about 17 days since becoming the presumptive nominee. Governor Walz, much shorter, briefer period, but similar remarks made today here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, as he made yesterday in Philadelphia. It's going to be interesting as these two, they now are going to be leaving Wisconsin, heading to other swing states, how the message resonates with voters, not just here in Wisconsin, but around the battleground states.
A part of the message I think we'll keep hearing is the vice president calling her running mate Coach Walz. I think that's how she's going to refer to him pretty generally from here on out.
I would not be shocked that if the circumstances made it themselves already, that a Secret Service code name may be in the works there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we want to thank everyone who hung in there with us all afternoon for our special coverage of the speech. Got started a little later than we thought, but we hope the analysis was definitely worth your while, and we hope we brought you some good information as well as some flavor of what was said today in Eau Claire. And, of course, our analysts, the devil's advocates, are standing by on many of our stations, and I'm sure they'll have plenty to say.
Yes, devil's advocate's going to be kicking off here on WMDX and Madison. The Maggie Dawn Show is going to be across the rest of the network for the remainder of the 3 o'clock hour with James Santel, former U.S. attorney, filling in for Maggie for that 3 o'clock block, with the Devils taking over for the Civic Media Radio Network beginning at 4. I want to thank Mr. Todd Alba and his efforts for broadcasting live from location this afternoon, as well as James Kelly, Civic Media reporter, and Pat Kreitlow, Trigby Olson, Mr. Aaron Zommers, and everybody else that made this special broadcast go out.
For Luke Mathers, I'm Terry Bell. Thank you for joining our special coverage. We return you to our regular scheduled programming.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.